You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. We are continuing in our series Reset, but don't worry if you weren't here last week. You're fine to jump right in where we are. Last week, the big takeaway that we had was if we want to be reset, meaning to have that almost if we had a reset button that was just there, that anytime we did something wrong or felt wrong or something in our life was not going the way we wanted to, we could press that reset button and everything would be made right. We get to restart that conversation, reset that moment, reset that decision, reset that opportunity. We talked about how we actually do have that in a sense, in a very important way, and it is our relationship with Jesus. That if we would meet with Jesus and meet Jesus, we would have access to this reset button in a truly transformational way, where we will be reset and made new in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the one that truly matters. All right. And so we're going to continue to talk about, what does it look like to be reset? And more so, what does a reset life bring? What does a reset life bring? And I want to start by kind of introducing it through a story. And so there's this story of this older man and his son. It was kind of thinking through, like, man, I want to get some nice things for my dad. And he was really into technology. And so he thought, what could make my dad's life easier? And it popped into his head. He said, an iPad. If I got him an iPad, it would be a lot easier for him. It'd be kind of like a computer on the go. Like he could sit on the couch and watch YouTube, or he could actually, if we hooked up his cell phone number to it, he could text us from his iPad. Man, this iPad would just make his life easier. And so he did it. He went and got his dad an iPad. He said, Dad, here's this brand new iPad for you. It's yours. I just want to give it to you. And his dad was so thankful and received it and was so happy about it. And so the son kind of checks in on the dad a week later. He's like, hey, how are you enjoying that new iPad? You like it? It's working well for you? And the dad's like, oh, I love it. Thing's awesome. I use it every single day. Man, thank you so much for this new brand new iPad. 2 weeks go by. And the son comes. He goes, hey, Dad, I'm going to come visit in a week. But man, how are you liking that new iPad? I can't wait to see what you've done to it. Maybe you've decorated it, put a case on it, whatever. And dad's like, man, I still use that thing every day. It's one of the greatest things. I'm so excited. And man, I love what it gets to do for me and how I get to use it. So he shows up and he comes and visits, man. We can just say, like, maybe it's Thanksgiving. He's around the family and he goes, hey, Dad, where's that iPad? Like, yeah, you're saying you're using it, but I don't see it. And so the dad's like, oh, it's in the kitchen. He's like, man, why is it in the kitchen? That's a weird place. Maybe he was watching YouTube when he was cooking, maybe he was doing the dishes. And he goes over, and what he sees is there is a knife on top of the iPad. And there's not only a knife on top of the iPad, there are cuts and marks and dents in the back of the iPad. And he goes, Dad, why is there a knife and cuts in this iPad? And so the dad says, well, that's what it's used for, isn't it? And he realizes, that he gave the iPad has been using the iPad as a cutting board. Like he had been using it just to cut. Like he thought it was like a really nice cutting board, stainless steel. He's like, yeah, I use it every day. Every time I make breakfast, every time I cut something, man, I use that iPad. I mean, we are all like, man, that's ridiculous, right? That's like, who would do that? Who would do that? It's funny. It's funny. But man, it's funny because we know that the dad was not using the iPad for its purpose, right? Like it was meant to do one thing, and as you think about it, think about like an iPad, how much an iPad is, and then think about like a cutting board. You know, like there's a price difference, there's a use difference, there's even like a significance difference. Like if I broke an iPad versus if I broke a cutting board, I'd be way more mad about one than the other, right? Because one is in a sense better. Like, who in here would like a cutting board for Christmas? Yeah, sure. Now, who in here would like an iPad for Christmas? Yeah, there it is. There it is, right? Right? So what we see is, in the funniness of the story, the grandfather was not using the gift that he had correctly. He was mispurposing it. Why are we talking about this? If I were honest, and I think if you were honest, we all crave a similar thing in life. We crave purpose. I can tell you that we crave purpose by saying this: you don't want to be bored. Boredom is everybody's enemy, right? Because what happens if you're bored? You do what? If you have a phone, you pull it out. You scroll on it. If you don't have a phone, maybe you take a nap. You go outside. We are scared of boredom because we crave purpose. We crave things to do. We crave something to live for. And that's what purpose is. It's something to live for, something to get us out of the bed in the morning. Here's the cool thing, and here's what we're going to see today. A life reset by Christ is a life of never-ending purpose. A life reset by Christ is a life of never-ending purpose. Never-ending, eternal. It is a purpose that you can wake up with every single morning, and it'll still be there. It is never-ending purpose. And now you're probably sitting here going, Nate, what's it? Tell me the purpose. I want a never-ending purpose. I don't know about you. That sounds awesome to me, right? The never-ending purpose that a life with Christ gives us is this: to glorify God and make his name known. This never-ending purpose that is here every single day, every single moment of your life, is to glorify God and to make his name known. Now, here's what just happened in the room. We split the room here, and here's what I mean. Some of you leaned in into that. You said, okay, let's hear more. Some of you said, man, you had me at never-ending purpose because you're right, I hate boredom. But you lost me when you told me it was about God. You lost me when you told me that it was to glorify God and make his name known because, man, I've tried that, it didn't work for me, or I just didn't like it. But hear me when I say this, it was what we were made to do. And truly, there are ideas and ways that we glorify God and make his name known that you would love. Case in point, some of them. Treating people with kindness. Nobody in here would say that's a bad thing to do, right? We'd all agree it's a good thing to treat people with kindness. That's a part of glorifying God and making his name known. Caring for your friends and family in times of distress or struggle. They go through a breakup and you're the shoulder that they get to lean on. You go through a breakup and they're the shoulder that you get to lean on. Bad test, bad grade. Somebody says a name about them that they don't like and hurts their feelings. Everybody would say, man, I want friends and I want to be a friend that other people can rely on. That's a part of glorifying God and making his name known. What about this? Encouraging others with words, lifting them up, giving them compliments, making people basically saying, I want to make people feel good. I want people to walk away from a conversation with me saying, I can't wait to go have another conversation with he or she. That's a part of glorifying God and making his name known. And even letting people care about you, as hard as that might be, that's a part of glorifying God and making his name known. Letting people care for you, letting people in so that they can see what you're struggling with, where your hurts are, what excites you, what gives you joy, your ups, your downs, everything in between. I don't know about you, man. I would love to have somebody that I could really rely on like that. That's a part of glorifying God and making his name known. All these things are part of the great and never-ending purpose that God has for you and more, that a life reset by Christ has for you and me. So please, if you heard that of like, I want a never-ending purpose, but I don't want it to be about God, hear me say this. You do. You may just not know it yet. So let's jump in, and I'm going to show you God's never-ending purpose and some goodness about it, but also how to look for it and see it. And we're going to see this in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, it's in the Old Testament. You have your Bibles. Also, if you would like to take notes, we do have notepads in the back. All you got to do is slip your hand up, and somebody will bring you one. I know some of you have already gotten them, and that's awesome. But we're going to be in the book of Esther. It is in the Old Testament. It is right after Nehemiah. So if you've passed Nehemiah, you've gone one too far. It's toward the front. This is definitely one that, man, do not feel bad. Go look in the table of contents to find it and go. We're going to be in Esther 4. So you're looking for that big number 4, chapter 4 of the book of Esther. As you're doing that, I'm going to kind of give you a summary just to kind of catch you up, because some of you, probably many of you, have never heard the book of Esther. You maybe knew it existed. It's spelled E-S-T-H-E-R, so maybe you thought it was Esther. It is not. It is Esther. We're going to be in Esther 4. No, Esther. And so what's happening is God's people, God's chosen people at this time, were rebelling against him. Basically, God had shown them what their purpose was, and they said, we don't want that. We want to do things ourselves. And so God said, if you do things yourself, it's not going to end well for you, but go for it. And so they did exactly that, and they got conquered by another nation. They got conquered by the nation of Persia. And so they're a captured people living amongst the Persian people. And so Persia had a king, and this king wanted a new wife. And so when he wants a new wife, that king gets a new wife. And the person that he had chose was a girl named Esther. Thing was, Esther was a part of God's chosen people, but she had kept it hidden because she didn't want to be punished for it. She basically feared, if I tell the king or tell people that I'm a part of God's chosen people, they're going to kill me. And I just don't want to deal with that, right? I don't know about you. I don't want to die either. So I get it, right? And so this is happening, and the king marries Esther, and then the king has a right-hand man. And the right-hand man, he hated the people of God. I mean, he hated them. He hated them so much so that he tricked the king into signing a purge of them. So basically, if you don't know what that means, basically he said, let's plan a night where we just go and kill all of them. And he tricked the king, and the king said yes. So there's this night that's planned where the king has said, every person of God's chosen people needs to be erased. Every person of the nation of Israel needs to be erased. And so, of course, there's some of the people of God's chosen people come to Esther. And there's a man named Mordecai, and he comes to Esther and he says, please beg the king for us to not kill us. Hey, you are our last hope. You have a direct line to the king. Tell him not to kill us. Fair ask, I'd say, right? Would you agree? Yeah. Okay, cool. That's where we pick up in verse 11. This is her response to Mordecai coming and saying, please ask the king to stop the purge night. She says this, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he might live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king in 30 days. So Esther's response, hey, Esther, I need you to do something. It's kind of uncomfortable, I have to ask, but please go tell the king, beg the king not to kill us. And she goes, well, I see what you're saying. I see your point. I agree. We don't want people dead. We don't want God's chosen people dead for sure. But if I go in there, there's one law, and it's if the king didn't want me in there, I'm going to die. You can almost see her looking back at him and saying, so what's plan B? I agree, I don't want you dead, but I would also not like to die. So what's plan B? What else can we do? Like, let's figure something else out. Maybe there's another route. Maybe we can throw a little audible here so that we can save you, but I also don't have to risk my life, right? Understandable. Back in verse 12, it says, they told Mordecai this, and then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And what a statement. Hey, maybe this is what you were meant to do, Esther. Maybe that's why you were chosen to be in this position. It's to save this people. Maybe this was a part of God's never-ending purpose for your life. But before that, I think there's even something almost more extraordinary. He looks at her and he says this, paraphrase, "Hey, Esther, I get it. You don't want to die. We don't want to die. You want to find another way where that kind of lets you continue to skirt under the rug of just kind of keeping it hidden that you're part of the nation of Israel because you don't want to risk your life. I get that. But Esther, don't be fooled. God's purpose will take place. It is only up to you right now to make a decision what side of history you're on. Were you in agreement with his purpose and helping his purpose take place? Or did you want to live for yourself? In which case, his purpose will take place, but you won't be a part of it. What I think is cool is God is saying the same thing to us right now. He is looking at you and me saying, hey, I want you to know, I want you to be a part of my purpose. I want you to enjoy and take the blessings of being a part of a never-ending purpose of glorifying me and making my name known. But don't be mistaken. If you do not choose to, it's still going to happen. You just won't be a part of it. Think about it this way. We laughed and we giggled about the iPad story, right? Well, think about it. Like, what if I went up to the head of Apple? I think Steve Jobs died, but say he's still alive. I don't know. I go up to Steve Jobs because I'm really important and I can get a meeting with him. It's whatever. We're like this, you know what I mean? It was a joke. You can laugh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I feel validated. Thank you very much. All right. And ready? And cool. Okay. So say I go up to Steve Jobs, still alive. We're just going to imaginary world, right? And I'm like, hey, Steve, I just need you to know. So-and-so's dad is using an iPad as cutting board. You know what he's going to say? Nate, we know about it. Our stocks have dropped. We're plummeting. Everything's going in the trash because of that. We are losing billions of dollars. Nothing is right. We're about to close down Apple for good, right? No, of course not. That's not what's going to happen. He's going to look at it. He's going to laugh and he's going to say, so what? I'm still a billionaire and we are still making billions of dollars per day. That's us. That's us. We can look at the story. God is offering us to be a part of his never-ending purpose. And we get the opportunity and the joy of joining in on it. But if we choose not to, it still takes place. It just takes place without us. Let's see how the story continues. Picking up in verse 16. So he says this to Esther. Again, he says, it's going to happen whether you want it to or not, whether you join in or not. You just get to choose if you're a part of it or not. Who knows? Maybe you were created for such a time as this. And she responds by saying, go. Gather all the Jews to be found in Susa. Hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and mine will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther's mic drop moment, right? If I perish, I perish. It's her aha moment. It's her going, I know what I have to do. I know how I can join in on God's never-ending purpose. You can almost hear it in the background. She's saying this to Mordecai, and her friends are behind her going, uh-uh. Well, no. Somebody else. Hey, can we have some counsel about this? Let's talk it over. Esther, don't do it. And you can almost see her turn to her friends and say the same thing she said to Mordecai. If I perish, I perish. Because in this moment, Esther understood what I want us to understand tonight. No matter what it cost, God's purpose is better. God's purpose is better. God's purpose is better than our praise and affirmation from our friends, because that will end. God's purpose is better than our pleasures, the things that we want, the things that we think are going to fill that hole. God's pleasure is better because it actually will fill those holes. And we see right here with Esther, point blank, God's purpose is better than our protection. God's purpose is better than our protection. Do you know why? Same thing Mordecai said. And even if we choose protection over God's purpose, the protection will show itself to fail. Nothing can offer the goodness and eternalness, the foreverness, as much as God's purpose for you and for me. God's purpose will never fail. And what's beautiful is he sits here as we sit in this room and he's looking at us and he's saying, now enjoy it. Take part in it. It's for you. It's for me. He's not holding his purpose, withholding it from us. Saying, hey, you know what? Maybe one day you can enjoy the pleasures of my purpose. Maybe one day I'll let you take part in it. No, he's sitting here offering it to you, saying, take joy in my purpose. Be a part of it. Enjoy the goodness that it is of glorifying God and making his name known. Do the things that Jesus has called us to do and to enjoy that are part of his purpose. I don't know about you, but usually when that happens and, you know, we're just amped up and we're like, yes, let's do it. God's purpose is better. I want a part of it. I want in. Let's do it. The question is always, well, how? How do I know God's purpose for my life? Nate, that's great, but that's a statement. That's an umbrella, right? There's a lot. Nate, you at the beginning talked about multiple things that fall into God's purpose of what it looks like to glorify him and make his name known. So how do I know what that looks like in my life? There's over 100 people in this room. I don't have time to sit with you one-on-one right now. If you want to be here till February, we can. But what I can tell you is I can tell you three things, three ways that I feel will help you find your part in God's never-ending purpose, aka what it looks like to glorify him and make his name known. It's these three things. First, ask God without a bias. Ask God, do it without a bias. How many times do we go saying, man, I want to know what God's plan and purpose is for me. I really hope it's that. Hey, God, can you show me a sign that it is this? God, I feel like you maybe call me here, but obviously that's not what I want to do. So I must be just, you know, feeling things. That's not what you actually want me to do. And talk to God. Ask him, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in this conversation? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to handle this disagreement? How do you want me to walk through this struggle? How do you want me to handle this temptation? But do it without a bias. God, whatever you say, that's what I'm doing. Ask God without a Bible. Or I'm sorry, ask God without a bias. Do it with the Bible, because our next point is read your Bible. So ask God without a bias and then read your Bible. Listen to me. I'll always say this. This is the greatest miracle any person has ever experienced in their life. This is God literally saying, you want to know how to follow me? Boom. Here it is. Read. And we need to be people that are reading our Bible. And I'll tell you this, overarchingly, again, umbrella statement, if you read the Bible, do you know what the purpose you're going to come away with is? To glorify God and make his name known. You're going to see that littered throughout all of Scripture, but you're also going to see different ways of how to handle specific moments in your life. You're going to see ways to encourage one another. You're going to see ways to convict one another. You're going to see ways to be convicted. And the Bible is a beautiful place. If you're sitting here going, Nate, I would love to read my Bible, but I don't know how. Man, awesome. So glad you're here. We actually have papers on that back shelf, and it is a Bible reading plan. We wanted to eliminate any excuse of not reading your Bible. So if you don't have a Bible reading plan, of it literally tells you what scripture to read each day, and it walks you through it. Man, pick one of those up. Those are free to take with you. Put it on your wall. Do it every morning. Man, I promise it'll help you find out how to live out God's purpose in your life. And then lastly, take the risk. Take the risk. So many of us, I know it because it's me too, so many of us hear God's calling in our life of what we're supposed to do, but we ignore it because it's scary. God, I know that you have placed my friend in this in this silo, in this isolated conversation with me, and I know they don't know Jesus, but you're not calling me to talk to them about it. Father, I know that church is a great thing to be at, and I love being there, and none of my friends come, or none of my classmates come, or maybe my brother or sister don't come, but obviously that's not what you don't want me to invite them. That's scary. What if they say something that, like, they don't like me anymore? What if they stop hanging out with me? Take the risk. We didn't read the end of the story of Esther, and you can if you want to, but I want you to know I did that for a specific reason. Because regardless of the end of the story, it is not about whether it worked out for Esther or not. It's about the fact that she took the risk to live out God's purpose, even if she would die. I'm not asking you to die. All right? I'm not asking you that. But what I am saying is to take the risk regardless of the outcome. And hear me say this. What happens if it ends poorly? That's probably the question. What happens if it doesn't work out? If it ends poorly, it ends poorly. But hear me say this, it didn't end poorly because you obeyed God. Even if the outcome seems poor, it's not. Why? Because you did what you were supposed to do. Man, I want to finish by us kind of coming back to the story of the grandpa. The thing that always gets me with the story is we don't know if the son told his dad how to use the iPad. Like, we don't know if he gave it to him and just said, hey, go to town with it, or if he instructed him. But what we do know is once he found out how he was using the iPad, he did tell him that it was incorrect. He did probably tell him how to use the iPad correctly. So we don't know if the father was at fault before, but we know that if the father continued to use that iPad as a cutting board, he was in the wrong then, because he had been told that's not how you're supposed to use it. That's us right now. We have been taught and told what God's purpose is for our life, to glorify him and to make his name known. Now it is up to us. Are we going to use it, what it was meant to be, the goodness it was meant to be, aka the iPad? Or are we going to kind of stifle it and say, I still want to do my own way, and I'm going to use your purpose as a cutting board? It's the question we got to ask. And I pray that our answer is, man, tonight, whether I was doing it before or not, I am now. Let me pray for us.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.